it's not that we loved God and so God finally responded to our love. It's not like, you know, maybe you can remember in high school or college or whenever, and you were wanting to woo somebody and you sought them and you gave them flowers and then chocolates and whatever else, and then finally they said, okay, I'll go out with you. You know, it's not that kind of thing with God. As a matter of fact, if it is that kind of thing with God, he was the one sending the flowers and the chocolates, saying, come, let us reason together, though your sins are like scarlet, but be white as snow.
Welcome to Cross the Bridge with David McGee. David is the senior pastor of The Bridge in Kernersville, North Carolina. Do you ever wonder, why did Jesus leave heaven and become a man? And also, why does the Lord keep us in the palm of his hand? Today, as Pastor David McGee continues teaching in John chapter 10, he'll answer these questions and more. Now, here's David McGee with part one of his teaching, The Son of God.
Well, let's turn in our Bibles to John chapter 10. We are continuing on with our verse-by-verse teaching in the book of John. We're going to pick it up at verse 28. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. What a glorious verse. Notice the word give. I give them eternal life. You know what that means? It means eternal life is a gift. It's not something you earn. It's not a reward for good behavior. I mean, what would you feel like if you gave somebody a gift at Christmas and they opened it and they said, wow, that's really nice. That's really awesome. You know, and then they pulled out their checkbook and said, how much do I owe you? That would be a little bit weird, wouldn't it? And yet, do you understand some of us treat salvation like that? It's a gift from God. Now, granted, it's a gift that we are indebted for and we should be appreciative of, but remember, guys, it's a gift. So many people in so many places and so many churches get so confused about this one central issue that salvation is a gift from God. We're told that in Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. It says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. What a perfect plan. See, in God's wisdom, he set up the plan where we would be saved by our faith, by our belief in Jesus Christ, not by our works. You got to love the beauty of the system. And this tells us one of the reasons he did it. Lest anyone should boast, or so nobody can brag about it. God knows us. See, if we could earn salvation, then you know what we would do is then we would begin to make phone calls and possibly hang out at the front of the church on Sunday morning, you know, and as people come in, we'd kind of be standing over there. Hey, how are you? Yeah, I got mine. Do you have yours? Oh, yeah, you don't really look saved. You don't really look like you've gotten there. See, then we would begin to brag and be arrogant and be prideful about it. Amen or oh me? Yeah, see, we tend to do that anyway, even though this says, not of works. At verse 29, my Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. Now look at this. This is awesome. He says something very similar twice. Verse 28, he says, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand, the hand of Jesus. Verse 29 says, my Father which has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. Verse 30, I and my Father are one. What an awesome thing to know that we're in the hands of the Lord. If you're a believer, if you've asked the Lord to forgive you of your sins, you're right there in his hand. What better place to be? Now, I know that we get into this thing and we talk about eternal security. And to be honest, I think a lot of times we take a lot of time and we waste a lot of breath and a lot of energy talking about the minutiae of eternal security. And when we talk about those things, it usually revolves around somebody that is not walking with the Lord. Well, let me ask you something. If somebody is not walking with the Lord, should they really feel secure in their relationship with the Lord? I wonder. I know at times I've wandered away from the Lord, and I wasn't secure in my relationship with the Lord. Why? Because it was kind of a warning device, to be honest. It was a warning device of the Holy Spirit going, you need to get right. You need to come back to the Lord. So whether you divide the line of going, well, yeah, I'd cross the line and you know, wouldn't be allowed into heaven, or you're on the side of going, well, you'd make it in, but just barely. You'd make it in like smelling like smoke with your ashes on your tennis shoes or something, you know. But the fact is, believers, I believe the Word of God teaches right here, believers are eternally secure in the hand of the Lord. Now, again, if you're here and you're wandering and you've drifted away, you probably lack that security. You probably lack that feeling of knowing that you're right in the hands of the Lord. And that's why it's important to repent and come back to the Lord. Why does the Lord keep us in the palm of His hand? It's not because we're good people. It's not because God looked down from heaven and thought, well, you know what? There's a spark of innate human goodness in that one. I believe I'll save that one. No. Many of you have a testimony sort of like mine in the sense that God looked down and thought, man, that one is way out there in left field, man. Boy, if he got saved, boy, people would know that was a God thing. They would know that was a God thing. We're in the palm of his hand because he loves us. He loves us that much. And you know what? I know that's a simple truth, but I think we get away from that so quickly. We forget that so quickly. If we remembered that, I mean, really remember that in our heart and in our head, I don't think we'd ever have a bad day the rest of our lives. See, we can remind each other that. Oh, how are you doing? Oh, I'm horrible. Oh, that's a bummer. Remember, God loves you and you're in the palm of his hand. We forget God loves us. That's a first life lesson. God loves you. Not because you're deserving of his love, but because that's what he does. That's his nature. That's his character. And he's willing to throw out the red carpet and adopt us as we believe in him. That's an amazing thing to me. And to remember, it's not that we loved God and so God finally responded to our love. It's not like, you know, maybe you can remember in high school or college or whenever, and you were, you know, you were wanting to woo somebody and you sought them and you gave them flowers and then chocolates and whatever else. And then finally they said, okay, I'll go out with you. You know, it's not that kind of thing with God. As a matter of fact, if it is that kind of thing with God, he was the one sending the flowers and the chocolates. Saying, come, let us reason together. Though your sins are like scarlet, they'll be white as snow. God loves us. 1 John 4:19 says, we love him because he first loved us. We love him because he first loved us. See, God loved you. And not just kind of love you like, you know, loving somebody from afar. The Lord knows us, sees us all the time. And he loves us beyond what we can comprehend. He gives us things, blessings we've not earned, grace and mercy. He lavishes these things upon us. That verse, Ephesians 2:8 and 9, it'd be a good verse, a couple of verses for you to memorize, but it says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, that not of yourselves is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. And then it goes on to verse 10. I love verse 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. You know an awesome thing about this verse? The Greek word for workmanship is poema. The Greek word for workmanship is poema. So in that verse it says, for we are his poema. Do you know what word we get from that word, Greek word poema? We get our word poem. For you are his poem. You may have been called a lot of things today or this week or this year. Chances are nobody has called you their poem. That's what God calls you. You are his poem. Your daddy's poem. What an awesome thing. The God that has made the universe, formed the universe, loves you intimately and knows you. And he's not going to forget you. He's set you apart to be forgiven of your sins. Isaiah 49, verse 15 says, can a woman forget her nursing child and not have compassion on the son of her womb? Surely they may forget, yet I will not forget. See, I have inscribed you on the palms of my hands. Your walls are continually before me. You know what I like about this verse is it doesn't say that I've written your name even on my hand. It says I've engraved you, your likeness, your picture. See, again, maybe think back a high school, college, or junior high or whatever when you really liked somebody and you wrote their name on your hand or whatever. God took it one step further and he engraved you on his hand. He's thinking about you even now, watching you. Get ready to come here this morning. Oh, that's my son. That's my daughter. They're coming to worship me and learn about more about me from the Word. Or perhaps you don't know him. Oh, the Lord got excited about you coming this morning if you don't know him. Because he thought, oh, this is awesome. I'm going to let them know one more time how much I love them and that I want to adopt them and I want to forgive them. And oh, here they come and this is great. So much so that we're told that when somebody comes to the Lord, the angels in heaven rejoice. So God's excited. So don't think if you're sitting here as an unbeliever, not sure of your eternal destiny, not sure if you've been born again or a Christian. Don't think, well, God's not happy about me being here. Oh, you're so wrong. God is tickled, if I may use that. God is tickled about you being here this morning. And the Lord is wanting to walk with us. He's wanting to have a relationship with us so much that he will orchestrate your entire life so you get to the place where you will respond to his proposal. Maybe this morning. I've come walk with me. Come walk with me, whispering in your ear over and over, I love you. I want to fellowship with you. As a backslidden Christian, the Lord sort of whispered through a believer in my ear that he missed me. And that was the end of my wandering, to realize that God, Creator God, had missed me. See, Jesus wants to say, and guys, I know this is kind of Christianity 101, but it's so important. We drift from it so fast. Jesus is wanting to say, at the end of this life, after all you go through and all the things that you do good and all the things that you do wrong, at the end of this life, as you approach the throne room, Jesus wants to say, you know what, Father? And this one may have messed up some, but he's with me. This one's with me. I'm going to put this robe of righteousness on him or on her. What an awesome thing.
You're listening to Pastor David McGee on Cross the Bridge. He'll be right back with more in just a moment, but I want to remind you of the free resources available to you on crossthebridge.com. There's a team of hundreds of people that will pray for somebody to be saved. You have a loved one that needs to know Jesus as Savior. You need people to pray for them. You need someone to present God's Word to them. Every day we're presenting God's Word to them here on Cross the Bridge with Pastor David McGee. We can pray for them as well just by simply going to crossthebridge.com and click on the Pray for the Lost button. All you need to do is put in the first names of the people you love that need to know Jesus as Savior, click on Submit, and immediately, hundreds of people will begin praying for your lost loved ones. And what an awesome way to bring your loved ones to Jesus. Here's a word from Associate Pastor D.A. Brown.
Hey, Bob, I want to take a minute to pray for some of our listeners in these cities in Hawaii. Kihei, Lanai City, Lihu, and also Ammon, Assateague, Boise, and Burley, Idaho. God, we thank you that we get to pray for these listeners today. We pray that they would be encouraged and remember how much you love them. Lord, if some of them are sick, we pray that you please heal them from the top of their head to the bottom of their toes. And Lord, we pray that you would equip them and empower them to share their testimony of your goodness to other people. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, brother. And now, let's get back to David McGee as he continues teaching verse by verse.
In the book of Proverbs, it says, come here and listen to me. I'll pour out the spirit of wisdom upon you and make you wise. I called you so often, but you didn't come. I reached out to you, but you paid no attention. I hope that's not what happens at the end of your life. I hope That's not what you hear. But you hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. See, it's important to listen to the voice of the Lord. Even this morning, the Lord is reminding each and every person how much he cares for you and how he longs to be in a relationship with you. And you know what's weird? If some of us are having a hard time hearing this right now, there's people in here that are getting really uncomfortable because I keep talking about how God loves them. So I'm going to keep on saying it because you need to realize God loves you. He loves you. And it's not a love like, well, you know, you don't do something right, or, you know, you don't look right, or you don't act right, or whatever, and he quits loving you. It's not that kind of thing at all. Romans chapter 8, awesome two verses. Romans chapter 8, verse 38 and 39 say, "For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Amen. What an awesome two verses. Now, understand, we're not safe necessarily in our actions. We're safe in his love and in his care. In his love and in his care. In 30, he says, "I and my Father are one." Now, this is a reference back to the Shema. We call it the Shema. It's Deuteronomy 6, 4, and chapter 6, verse 4 and 5. From the Hebrew word, the first Hebrew word is Shema. Shema, Israel, Yahweh Elohim, Yahweh Ahud, meaning the Lord our God is one God. Now, and if you remember, there's another clue about the Trinity way back in the book of Genesis. When God said, let us, plural, make man in our image. Okay, interesting, isn't it? So he says, I and my Father are one. So he's claiming deity. So let's see what their reaction is. Verse 31, "Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him." So there they are letting us know that Jesus said something really important because they're picking up rocks again. And keep in mind, these aren't little bitty rocks. These are like big rocks. Okay? Verse 31. Or 32, "Jesus answered them, and many good works I have shown you from my Father. For which of those works do you stone me?" The Jews answered him, saying, "For a good work we do not stone you, but for blasphemy, because you, being a man, make yourself God." Oh, wow. Now, the Jewish people here in this chapter, the Jewish leadership, they understood something that some people today miss. They understood something that Dan Brown, the author of the Da Vinci Code, is obviously unaware of. And that's that Jesus did claim to be God. In the Bible, he claimed to be God. Now, what you do with that is between you and the Lord. But understand, that is part of his claim. You can't say, well, he never claimed to be God. Well, yes, he did. He just did it in this verse right here. And in many other verses. So what do you do with that? You know what's interesting is the accusations that they made of him here. They're saying that Jesus, who was a man, made himself out to be God. That's kind of interesting, isn't it? The reason it's interesting is it's backwards. It's backwards. Jesus wasn't as God who made himself to be a man so that he could walk this earth and lay down his life for us. It's a Hebrew scripture concept. It's called the Goel, is the Hebrew word, kinsman redeemer. And some of the laws of the kinsman redeemer include that you had to be a relative of the one you were wanting to redeem. So Jesus became a man and walked among us. Not half man, half God. I've heard people say that. No, 100% God, 100% man. And why did he do that? He did that. Jesus became a man so we could become children of God. Jesus became a man so we could become children of God. Jesus did that so that we could do something that we can scarcely comprehend. That we, as sinful men and women, can stand righteous before a holy God. Something that we had dared not dream outside of that. As it's been said, Jesus paid a debt he did not owe because we owed a debt that we could not pay. That's why he did it. Verse 34, Jesus answered them and said, "Is it not written in your law? I said, you are gods." If he called them gods, to whom the word of God came and the scripture cannot be broken, do you say of him whom the Lord sanctified and sent into the world, you are blaspheming because I said I am the Son of God? Now, look back at verse 35. Jesus says something very interesting here. He says, to whom the word of God came. What was he referring back to? He was referring back to the Hebrew scriptures. And what was he calling them? He was calling them the word of God. It's important to understand that Jesus validates and verifies the Bible as the word of God. And the word of God validates and verifies Jesus as the Son of God. So, you cannot say, well, I believe the Bible, but I don't believe that Jesus was the Son of God. You can't say that. And neither can you say, well, I believe Jesus is the Son of God, but I'm really not sure about the Bible. Jesus called it the Word of God. If you believe Jesus, you believe the Bible. If you believe the Bible, you believe Jesus. It's not a cosmic salad bar where you can pick and choose. Well, I want a little that and a little this, and I believe a little of that truth, but the rest, you can't do that. You can't do that. You shouldn't do that. Now, the word here in the Hebrew Scriptures is Elohim. Now, some of us know that as one of the names of God in the Hebrew Scripture, but it's also the Hebrew word for a judge or an official. And in this case, that's sort of what Jesus is alluding to. In Exodus chapter 22, verse 8, it says, if the thief is not found, then the master of the house shall be brought to the judges. That word judges there is Elohim. To see whether he has put his hand into his neighbor's goods for any kind of trespass, whether it concerns an ox, donkey, a sheep, or clothing, or any kind of lost thing which another claims to be his, a cause of both parties shall come before the judges, and whomever the judges condemn shall pay double to his neighbor. Again, judges, judges. Those three judges in there is the Hebrew word Elohim. Okay, so in the Hebrew scriptures, they are called gods, and notice it's a little g. And then in Psalm 82, the Elohim is used, and it says, and then the judges, they will die like men. So obviously, it's not a term distinctly of deity. And what Jesus is saying is, you know what? If they call judges Elohim, how can it be blasphemy to call me God when I'm doing these things, when I'm doing the works of the Father? It's something they were missing. Now, it's interesting to look at the names of God. And what's really interesting is to see all the names that are used for God in the Hebrew Scriptures and similar titles that are used for Jesus in the New Testament. There's a whole lot of them. I listed just a few right here. Yahweh, or I Am. We have the I Am statements. God, Alpha and Omega, Lord, Savior, King, Judge, Light, Rock, Redeemer, our righteousness, shepherd, creator, giver of life, forgiver of sin, our healer, omnipresent, omniscient, omnipotent, preexistent, and eternal. That's just a few of the names that Jesus is given in the New Testament that correspond to the names God the Father is given in the Hebrew Scriptures. Guys, Jesus Christ is God. There's no doubt about it. There's no doubt that that is what this book teaches. In verse 36, he says, do you say of him whom the Father sanctified and sent into the world, you are blaspheming because I said, I am the Son of God? In verse 37, he says, if I do not do the works of my Father, do not believe me. But if I do, though you do not believe me, believe the works, that you may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in him. Think about this. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life, and he brought somebody back from the dead. He said, I am the light of the world, and he healed somebody that had been born blind. These are all things that are believable. Jesus said, I am dying for your sins, and I will be resurrected again. And anyway, he was raised from the dead 3 days later. An amazing thing.
Friend, do you know for sure that your sins have been forgiven? You can know right now. I want to lead you in a short, simple prayer, simply telling God you're sorry and asking him to help you to live for him. Please pray this prayer with me out loud right now. Dear Jesus, I believe you died for me, that I could be forgiven. And I believe you were raised from the dead, that I could have a new life. And I've done wrong things. I have sinned. And I'm sorry. Please forgive me of all those things. Please give me the power to live for you all of my days. In Jesus' name, amen. Friend, if you prayed that prayer, according to the Bible, you've been forgiven, you've been born again. So congratulations, friend, you just made the greatest decision that you will ever make. God bless you.
If you prayed that prayer with David for the first time, we'd love to hear from you. You can visit crossthebridge.com to receive our First Steps package with helpful resources to help you begin your walk with Christ. Or you can write to Cross the Bridge at P.O. Box 12515, Winston-Salem, North Carolina, 27117, and share how God is working in your life. You know, the Bible tells us that the free gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. But it does cost for us to come and bring that message to you and to others in your neighborhood through radio, through the internet, and through the mobile technologies that God has gifted us to be able to use. So if you'd like to support this ministry, please go to crossthebridge.com, click on the donate button, and ask God how much He would have you give, either on a one-time basis or a continuing basis each month, to help ensure that the teaching of God's Word continues to go out through Cross the Bridge. Thank you so much. Well, D.A., before we go, what are some ways that we can bless our listeners?
Each day, you can wake up with encouragement from Pastor David through the Word of God with his email devotional, life lessons to consider, a daily reading plan, and a thought to meditate on throughout your day from the heart of David McGee.
Thanks again for listening, and join us next time as David McGee continues teaching verse by verse in the Gospel of John.